Thank you, Doug, for those powerful words. Truly how we do need Jesus in our lives to continue to move in us and work through us. And we can do nothing without Him, and truly we do need Him. And just to think about all the amazing things that we can do with Him is almost unimaginable. And so I wanted to encourage us this morning to just trust in the Lord, to know that He continues to work in and through us to do powerful and wonderful things. And just to know Jesus as Savior is a precious, wonderful, wonderful thing. So, you love Him this morning? Amen. Amen. We're so glad that once again you've come out to worship with us. And you know, over the last several weeks, we've begun a new year. If you didn't know that yet, we've started a new year. Some of us is probably still writing 2019 from on occasion. And so it is 2020, and we've been talking to you about God's plans and what God is doing in our lives. And we want to continue to share with you in kind of that regard this morning to something that I know is on the heart of God and is part of God's will for each and every one of us. And so we want to take and share with you a few moments this morning in regard to evangelism. And a year, every year we kind of share that theme with you of what we're kind of considering and thinking about in this upcoming year. And so I'd like to share with you this morning in regard to a year of evangelism. Now, I know when we hear that word, we kind of back up for a moment, but just stay with me. I know the Lord's got good things for us, and God is at work around us. And so if ever there was a time to reach the unsaved, I believe it is now. I believe this is the time. I believe that this is the moment. This is the year for evangelism. And yes, I know evangelism seems to be a scary thing. However, it doesn't have to be. When we think about evangelism, evangelism is really just sharing Jesus with others. I know when we think about evangelism, though, we think about this sense of having to go door to door and knock on doors, and a stranger opens the door and we begin to share with them about Jesus, and we plead with them to accept Jesus as Lord of their life. And I want you to know that's really not the heart of evangelism, and that's really not the best way to do it unless the Holy Spirit is saying, go here and do this. But evangelism is so much more than that, and we can share Jesus in many, many ways. And so this morning, let's not dismiss this thing of evangelism. And so when you hear the word evangelism, I want to encourage you just to think about sharing Jesus. It's just sharing Jesus. And believe it or not, we all have a responsibility to share Jesus with others. Every one of us. Not just the pastor, not just the evangelist comes in for revival, not just Sunday school teachers, not just board members, but every one of us who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, we are and have a responsibility to share Jesus with others. In fact, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22, I believe has a powerful statement in regard to this sense of responsibility and regarding to sharing Jesus that we want to share with you this morning. And it helps us to understand that responsibility that each and every one of us have as we begin to think about a year of evangelism or a year of sharing Jesus with others. And so let's take our Bibles this morning. Let's turn over to John chapter 20, and let's look down to verse 21 this morning. Appreciate if you would stand for the reading of the Word. John chapter 20, verse 21 this morning. This is such an interesting passage of Scripture. This morning, John chapter 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father hath sent me, I also send you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Join us this morning in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, thank You for this wonderful day You've given to us. Thank you for this beautiful family of brothers and sisters that we have to gather with, to worship, to sing, to pray, to fellowship with. And Lord, we just ask this morning that you continue to bless them in a powerful way. Have your hand of protection upon them and their families. And so Lord, we just lift them to you. We ask this morning you continue to work in their lives and our lives in a very powerful way. And Lord, I pray this morning that as we come to your word and we consider this thing of evangelism and recognizing this morning that we all have a responsibility to share you with others, I pray that you would move on us, that you would stir us, and there would be a hunger in us, a passion in us, Lord, for the lost, for those that are unsaved, for those that are hurting, Lord. And so I just simply pray this morning that your word would find lodging in our heart and that it would motivate us and that it would move us this morning and that we would recognize, Lord, that people still need Jesus. And so, Lord, I ask this morning that you would come in a mighty way and that you would speak to us through your word. And Lord, we need you, Lord, to help us as we desire, Lord, to be used of you, to share your word. So Lord, allow us to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the word. And Lord, this morning, may me as your people be moved by your words to us this morning. In your name we pray, and amen. You may be seated this morning. As we begin to think about a year of evangelism, there's three things this morning I'd like for us to consider in regard to this passage that I shared with you here in John chapter 20 and 21, verses 21 through 22. And I believe they really speak to us in regard to this thing of evangelism and the concept that evangelism is even not just corporate as a church, but very personal for you and I in this concept of sharing Jesus. And so three things I'd like for us to consider this morning. And the first one is this concept of the Great Commission. When we talk about evangelism, we come to the Scripture, and the Scripture shares with us what we often refer to as the Great Commission, or the empowering of the church to share the gospel. And we're commanded as a church, we're commanded as believers to share the gospel. And so the Great Commission is this concept that every one of us, every church that names Jesus Christ as Savior, every one of us who worship the Lord, know the Lord as Savior, has a charge, a commission. In other words, to share with the world Jesus. I want you to know this morning that John chapter 20, verse 21 through 22, is actually a Great Commission passage. It shares with us in regard to going and sharing Jesus. But when we think about Great Commission passages, we often and usually would think of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, that share with us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that what I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And so when we think about Great Commission passages, that's usually where we would land as a church and as leadership, as we're encouraging the church to evangelize and sharing Jesus, right? That's what evangelism is, sharing Jesus. Or we're encouraging personal evangelism. We would often go to Matthew, and here we share what is almost really known as the Great Commission passage of Scripture. And it's a very important passage of Scripture. But I want us this morning to look, if we could for a moment, beyond Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And I want us to genuinely consider John's passage, because it really is a bit different when we think about Great Commission passages or passages that speak to us about evangelism, sharing Jesus. Evangelism. We're going to try that again. Evangelism. All right, there we go. We got that, right? Every time we think about evangelism, we think sharing Jesus. All right. And so I want us to consider this morning John's passage, because it really is so much more personal, and I think so much more powerful. Now, I don't want to take anything away from Matthew, because that's good stuff. But John is just a bit different. Matthew, in the Great Commission passage there in Matthew chapter 28, 19 through 20, basically tells us what to do. We need to go. We need to make disciples, not just of our nation, but all nations. We need to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and we need to teach them all the things that we've been taught and what it basically means to serve Jesus. And so it tells us what to do. But there's something that really happens in John that I believe is just so powerful and so moving. John shares with us in John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22, in regard to the Great Commission. He doesn't tell us what to do. He tells us how to do. That's a tremendous difference. Often we know what we should do, but sometimes we really struggle with how to do what it is we know we're supposed to do. Matthew tells us we need to go and we need to share the good news. We need to baptize. We need to teach. We need to make disciples. Yeah, we understand that. But how does that begin to flow out of us? How does that work? How do we do that? And I really believe that John tells us how to do that. And so that leads us to the second thing this morning that I want us to consider in regard to a year of evangelism or a year of sharing Jesus. And it's this. It's that very thought that Jesus shares with His disciples and with us, because we are His disciples. As the Father sent me, I also send you. I kind of like how King James does it. He says, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. It helps us to understand for a moment exactly what's happening in this passage as Jesus shares with His disciples and shares with us this morning. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And so if we understand for a minute what Jesus is just saying, He's saying, as God has sent me, I'm also sending you. As God has sent me, I'm also sending you. Are we getting this? As God has sent me, as the Father has sent me, Jesus, I'm also sending you. You probably have to take a breath for a moment and step back and wonder what's going on here. As God has sent Jesus? You mean the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of the world, the Christ, the one who died at Calvary and shed His blood for the redemption of the world? We are to go into the world as Jesus was sent into the world? Take a breath. It's okay. I know. And are my what? I'm not Jesus. Yep. We get that. We are not saviors. Yeah, we know that. But yet we're supposed to go into the world as Jesus has come into the world, and we're supposed to do what Jesus has done? How is that even remotely possible? That has to be crossing your mind. How could that even begin to work? And so I believe that leads us to a very important question this morning. Very important question. If we are sent into the world, as the Father has sent Jesus into the world, we have to ask the question, how was Jesus sent? Now, we're going to have to move beyond the fact this morning that we understand that He was sent as Redeemer, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Holy Son of God. We need to move beyond that. We don't need to forget that, because we need to recognize who Jesus is, and that gives Him all the authority to tell us that we're also sent into the world. But we need to look beyond that for just a moment and ask that question, just how was Jesus sent? Well, from His very own words, we see in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. So how was Jesus sent? He was sent as a servant. Those are His words. Not somebody else's words. Those was His words. Jesus said, I've not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. That's powerful stuff. Because this concept of the fact that we are sent into the world as the Father has sent Jesus into the world becomes possible. Jesus was sent as a servant. And as a servant, when you read through Scripture, you'll find as Jesus was servant that Jesus fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He comforted the hurting. He forgave sin. He engaged and felt the pain of others. And the list would go on and on and on as they would encounter Jesus. And Jesus involved Himself into their lives. That's how Jesus was sent. A servant. One who cares and is concerned about others. Servant. So with this concept in mind that we are sent into the world as Jesus was sent into the world, therefore we must understand that we are sent into the world just as Jesus was, as servants. Not necessarily as redeemers or saviors, or the Christ, but as servants. And so I said, Matthew was what we're to do. John is how. So how do we fulfill the Great Commission? We do that by becoming like Christ and becoming servants. And so for us, that means, well, feed the hungry. Pray for the sick. Comfort the hurting. Lead people to Jesus. Feel their pain. Get involved in their lives. When we think of this ideal that we're sent into the world as Christ was sent into the world, it's about us getting involved in the lives of others. This concept this morning is the essence of prayer, care, share, empower. The ideal that we're praying for others. In fact, I want to encourage you in this year of evangelism that you have at least one individual that you are praying for. At least one individual that you are caring for. And that you're showing care to them. One individual that you are sharing with. And when I talk about sharing, it's not necessarily just sharing Jesus. It's about getting involved in their lives. It's about spending some time with them. Getting to know them. Sharing with them. And I hope there's one individual that you are empowering. You're showing them the way to Jesus. You're empowering them with the opportunity to experience Christ in their life. And so the very essence of prayer, care, share, empower that we've spoke to you so much about, and I hope really begins to resonate in your heart and mind, is this concept that we were sent into the world just as Jesus has been sent into the world. I couldn't help but think about John Stott shares such powerful thoughts in regard to Christian missions. In his book, Christian Missions in the Modern World. And I love that this paragraph here, as we're talking about getting involved in the lives of others. John Stott says, it comes more natural to us to shout the gospel at people from a distance than to involve ourselves deeply in their lives, to think ourselves into their culture, their problems, and to feel with them in their pain. The truth is, if we want to genuinely share Jesus, we don't have to go door to door this morning and knock on the door and speak to a stranger about Jesus. We just simply need to get involved in the lives of our friends and our families and our neighbors, the people we know. And I guarantee you this morning, you know people right now in this moment that are hurting in some form or other. Being sent into the world as Jesus was sent into the world is about becoming a servant and feeding the hungry and praying for the sick and comforting the hurting and leading people to Jesus, getting involved in their lives, feeling their pain. The very essence of prayer, care, share, and power. The third thing I wanted us to consider this morning in regard to a year of evangelism is this very concept of being passionate for the unsaved. If there was ever anybody passionate about the lost, it was Jesus. I mean, after all, we know he left the splendor of heaven and came to be one of us, lived among humanity, felt pain and hunger and all the things, died at Calvary, rose from the dead, all those things that we know and are so familiar with. You know what that was all about? That was all about the redemption of the world. That was all about passion for the lost. This statement this morning in John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, it says, as the Father has sent me into the world, I also send you. That's about passion. In that moment, as Jesus shared with his disciples, I can assure you, heart was breaking with this very concept that he knew that he was leaving and he was passing on this mission, this responsibility to his disciples. Passionate about that. Jesus was passionate about the lost. We see in Scripture, Jesus, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, but when we saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was passionate about the lost. Passionate about the unsaved. So much so, the Scripture says that when he saw the multitudes, that he was moved with compassion. I want us to get this concept of moved with compassion for just a moment. I shared with you, I believe, last week, there's a difference in knowing and knowing. I mean, we got that. There is a difference in being compassionate and being compassionate. How many times have we observed a circumstance and say, boy, that's unfortunate? Shake your head. Yeah, you've been there. Driving down the road and you see somebody with a flat tire or a wrecker there. And you say, man, that's unfortunate. But what do we do? Typically. Go on. We drive right on by. For a moment, we had a sense of compassion. That's unfortunate and I hate that that happened to them. And then there's thing that Jesus talks about here where Jesus said that he was moved with compassion. If we're moved with compassion when we see that person on the side of the road with a flat tire or automobile problems, do we drive right on by? No. If we're genuinely moved with compassion, we stop and ask that person if they need any help. The difference in having compassion and being moved with compassion is action. I'm telling you today, with a year of evangelism and a year of sharing Jesus, there needs to be some action in our heart and life toward others. We need to be like Jesus, be moved with compassion, stirred to do something. If ever there was a time, church, I believe it's now. The Scripture says that today is the day of salvation. I can attest to you today that I'm sure glad that when Tim Urich stepped out and come to me as a teenager at Plug Run Church and said, Mike, is the Lord beginning to deal with you? That he didn't say to the Lord, well, some other day. Because in my life, there might not have been another day. I'm glad that Tim was moved with compassion. We need to be moved with compassion for the lost. As we consider this passage of Scripture where Jesus was moved with compassion, we might wonder to ourselves and ask, why was Jesus moved with compassion? Well, the Scripture says, because that they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. They were lost. They were hurting. They were hungry. They didn't know where they was going. They didn't know what was going on. And when Jesus saw the shape that they was in, He was moved with compassion. In fact, if you would follow this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 9, this is the very spot where He shares with the disciples that the harvest is great. The harvest is still great. But He also shares, the laborers are few. That should not be. Sorry, it shouldn't be. Because all of us, every one of us, should be sharing Jesus in some form or fashion. We should be praying for somebody. We should be caring for somebody. We should be sharing. Help me out. We should be empowering somebody. The issue of labors in evangelism should not be. However, it's true. Unfortunately, it's true. And this is a spot also where Jesus gives the only real specific prayer direction that we see in Scripture. Pray that the Lord would send laborers into the harvest. Jesus is saying, moved with compassion, we need to take action. These people are weary, and they're scattered, and they're lost. Moved with compassion. As we look at Jesus in this scenario, and understand that Jesus was moved with compassion, I believe that brings another important question to our mind, or should. Because we understand Scripture says the laborers are a few. Now this is a real question, church. This is where the rubber meets the road, as we say. And as we consider a year of evangelism, a year of sharing Jesus, I think we have to ask this real, real question. Are we passionate about the lost? Are we moved with compassion? Remember, we're to be sent into the world as Jesus was sent into the world. He was sent into the world as a servant. Jesus was sent into the world with a passion for the hurting, for the hungry, for the lost. Are we passionate about the lost? Are we moved with compassion? Is there a burden on our hearts for those who are hurting and suffering and don't know Christ in their life? I think that's a question, church, we need to wrestle with. I think there needs to be a sense of urgency in regard to people. I'm sure I've shared this with you at some point, but I had a friend's wife make this statement. She said, "If we were as concerned about the lost as we say we are, we couldn't sleep at night." I think that's something to ponder. I certainly hope this morning that we are like Jesus, because we're sent into the world like Jesus was sent. And I hope this morning that we have a sense of passion for the lost. And so as we think about this concept of evangelism, that we are sent into the world as Jesus was sent into the world, the whole concept is the fact that you and I are to be Jesus to the world. In fact, Jesus says to His disciples that you, this is not a pondering thought, that you will do greater things than I. And as we think about that concept, how in the world can anybody do greater things than Jesus? It's about this concept of reaching the world. About this idea of being a servant, being Jesus to the world. And so we come to the third question this morning I want us to consider. Who will be Jesus to them? We understand this morning that there's hurting in the world. We all know that. There's people who are hungry. There's people who are thirsty. There's people who have lost their way. There's people who don't know Christ. And so on the list would go. And so I think we have to ask the question, who will be Jesus to them? Who will be Jesus to them? I hope this morning, with a sense of urgency and passion, we say, we will. And maybe even a little more personal this morning and say, I will. I will. How do we do that? Let me tell you. We're going to pray. We're going to care. We're going to share. We're going to empower. We're going to share Jesus to them. Well, who is them? Them is the unloved, the lonely, the broken, the weary, the scattered, the hurting, the poor. Them is family. Loved ones, neighbors, co-workers. The lost. Them. All of them. And I know this morning, you know one of them. You encounter them. I hope you're sharing with them. Because that's what we were sent to do. As the Father has sent me into the world, I also send you. But note verse 22 this morning as we begin to come to a close. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have time to go into great detail in regard to this particular passage of Scripture, but I want you to know that it's absolutely powerful. What Jesus was doing was empowering the disciples to do what? To go into the world just as He was sent into the world. And He gives them the power of the Holy Spirit. Or He enables them to be able to go into the world and share Jesus. I want you to know this morning, as we think about evangelism, as scary as it may be for us at times, that we, as believers, are enabled and empowered to share Jesus. Today, can we pray, or better yet, will we pray? This concept of prayer, care, share, empower will resonate in our hearts and minds so that we can be Jesus to them? I certainly hope that we can. And it's my heart, and I hope that it's your heart this morning, that God gives us a burden for the lost. A burden for the lost. Broken. Broken. For the law. One more thing I want to share with you, and we're going to close this morning. When I was a teenager at Plug Run, man, the Lord was moving and working. I've shared that with you I don't know how many times. When you drove by the church, you just knew God was doing something. When you come to the door and almost reach for the handle, it was almost, you know how when you touch something you get that shock? It was kind of like that. You just knew something was going to happen. It was amazing. It was powerful. But there was something happening with the people in the church. They were broken for the lost. I can recall time after time after time where one or two or three people were broken for their husband, for their wife, for their children, and they literally and physically wept over the altar because they were lost or broken or hurting. Wept. Physical tears. Jesus was moved with compassion. It's my heart's desire that we come to the place where we are moved with compassion for those people who are hurting, who are lost. Might we find ourselves broken, weeping over those individuals for God to move. And I can tell you, and I've told you some of those stories, and I can tell you story after story after story of how God moved in amazing ways. And those people who you thought were unreachable became reachable and became good men and women of God. Be encouraged today. God is still in the saving business. God is still passionate about broken people. And yes, God wants us to be passionate about broken people. And so just as He sent His Son into the world, He's sending us into the world to be servants, to pray, to care, to share, to empower. Stand with us this morning. Praise team's going to come back this morning. Going to share with us in song. As a church, we have a corporate mandate to reach the lost. I want you to know this morning, as believers, we have a personal mandate to share Jesus. I wonder this morning how many of us would step out and say, "Oh Lord, help me. Help me. Help me to have a passion for the hurting. Help me to have a passion for the lost. And help me be Jesus to them." How many of us would step out? Find a place at the altar and just say, "Lord, here I am. Here I am. Help me." Let's mind the Lord this morning. Help me. Because people need the Lord. As the praise team leads, just be mindful of the Lord. Allow Him to speak to your heart this morning. That powerful song this morning shares such a genuine truth with us. It simply shares with us, when will we realize people need the Lord? When will we realize? They're still broken people, church. And they need Jesus. You know what? They need you. I needed the Tim Urichs in my life, and the Opal Grubbs, and the Shirley Millers, the Dottie Mosleys. Even those people. You are those people to somebody. I'm going to sing that through just one more time. And even right where we're standing, might we say to the Lord, "I'll be that person. I'll be that person. I'll be Jesus to them. I'll pray for them. I'll care for them. I'll share with them. I'll empower them. Because, Lord, I do realize people need the Lord." One more. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, thank you so much for this beautiful plan of salvation, Lord, that we have had the opportunity to partake of. And that we know this morning that we have been saved and that you loved us. But Lord, I pray this morning that we also realize, Lord, that there are many, many others who are still hurting, who are still broken, who need you. And that we would realize this morning that in some way, somehow, Lord, we are to share you with them. And so I just pray, Lord, that you would flow over us. And as you empowered your disciples, I ask this morning, Lord, that you would empower us. And that we would become Jesus to somebody. So easily distracted by the things that are happening in our lives. But Lord, help us to always realize that people need you. Have your hand upon us, work in and through us. May we be mindful of you. We ask in your precious name. And amen. As you go this morning, would you do me a favor? Would you turn to somebody and simply just say, "People need the Lord." God bless you. You're dismissed.